Shalom. This is Yahya Davidi from New Bambi, Brit-Am Broadcasting, Israel, in association with Kosher 101.9 radio around the world. It goes out from Carlsbad, New Mexico. We are speaking to you from Jerusalem, in Israel. We are concerned with finding the Lost Ten Tribes and with finding who the Lost Ten Tribes are today and what their role in this world should be. Our organization has three R's, representing research, recognition, reconciliation. We research where the Lost Ten Tribes are to be found. We seek for recognition of this revelation, for recognition of the research results that indicate the identity of the Lost Ten Tribes. And we seek for reconciliation between the Jews, between Judah and between Joseph, representing the 10 tribes of Israel. Originally there were 12 tribes. They split into two separate bodies. 10 of them were in the north. They were conquered by the Assyrians and they lost consciousness of their identity and became the Lost Ten Tribes of Israel. And this was done for a reason. Prophecy speaks of it, and prophecy also tells us where the Lost Ten Tribes are today, and it tells us how we may identify them. And you may see on other talks that New Bambi has given, and also on our website, numerous articles on this subject. Go to www.britam.org and you will find material, additional material and articles and research notes on this subject. We also find references to the Lost Ten Tribes in Jewish sources, in traditional Jewish sources based on the Bible, or based on traditions that the sages received through their prayers and meditations and studies. One of the aspects of rabbinical learning that has developed in recent times concerns the Messiah, son of Joseph. It's a tradition that in the end times there would be two leaders of the Israelite people would come forth. One would be the Messiah, son of Joseph. The other would be the Messiah, son of David. The Messiah, son of Joseph, represents the 10 tribes, or he represents more the physical aspects of a redemption, whereas the Messiah, son of David, initially represents the spiritual aspects. He leads the Jews, he leads the Jewish people, Judah. Eventually the two halves, the two bodies join together. Messiah, son of Joseph, dies or disappears or takes something else in some other way. He is relegated to a lesser position, even though at first he will be the leader. And Messiah, son of David, will rule over all of the 12 tribes of Israel. So we don't know how these things will work out. Maimonides emphasized to us that no one knows how these things will come about until they actually do. We can only take these sources and we can study them and learn from them and see how they apply to us. And we can put them to heart. We can see what they mean to us, what they say to us, how valid they are, how applicable they are in our studies. The idea of there being more than one Messiah. Incidentally, Messiah in Hebrew is from the word Mashiach, which means anointed. And it doesn't mean that you can only have one anointed, you can have several anointed. There's other Midrashim that say in the end times there will be four Messiahs, or four anointed ones. And they can play around with the literal meaning of the word and what it actually means. And we should not get hang up too much in our concepts. In our present-day concepts of the idea of, for instance, have a Christian Messiah and you have a Jewish Messiah, and there can only be one of them, and this is misleading. This can be misleading. we should not get too hang up in it. The book of Obadiah, in verse 121, he says, "And saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's." In other words, Obadiah indicates that in the end times, there will be a final war. All the book, the very short book of Obadiah, speaks of this war, speaks of, incidentally also speaks of the lost and tribes of Israel. He speaks of Joseph being in Britain and in France. That is at least according to Jewish rabbinical commentaries. See our article on Obadiah on our website concerning this for more details. And also in the future, God willing, we will give a separate talk about it. At all events, Obadiah, the whole book of Obadiah is occupied with the final wars, with the wars during the end time. And he has this expression, "and saviors shall come up on Mount Zion." He has this expression, "saviors" in the plural. So different commentators said this is referring to both the Messiah, son of Joseph, and the Messiah, son of David. And we go according to the school of thought that says that the Messiah, son of Joseph, in the end times will lead the 10 tribes and he will bring them back. This is developed by the Malbim, a famous commentator. It's also found in all the sources in some way or other. It is consistent with all the other sources, as if to say. Messiah, son of Joseph, also has other aspects of his personality. And different commentators and different traditions emphasize these other facets of his being, of how he would be. They did not contradict the idea that the Messiah, son of Joseph, would lead the 10 tribes when they return. It's also found hinted at in Midrashim and in the Aramaic translation to the Bible, which is dated very early, and began to be copied down in 100 BCE, and a few hundred years CE was completed. However you date it, it was very early, and this too mentions the Messiah, son of Joseph, being the head of the tribe of Ephraim. The great biblical commentator known as the Malbim. The Malbim is short for Ma'ir Le Ben Yehiel, Michael. His surname was actually Weiser. He lived in the from 1809 to 1879. He was a rabbi, a famous rabbi in Europe, especially in Romania and the present-day area of Romania, but also in Germany and elsewhere. And he wrote very incisive, very informative, and very useful commentaries on the Bible, on all of the Bible. Concerning Ezekiel 37, we have in Ezekiel 37 a prophecy of Judah and Joseph in the end times returning. And the Malbim comments on this, that this prophecy is referring to the lost 10 tribes of Israel when they return and reunite with Judah. So first, let us just refresh our minds as to what Ezekiel 37 does say, and then we'll see what the Malbim says about it. So, scripture informs us, "The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions. And join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand." So that's what he does. He is told, the prophet is told, to take two sticks, one in one hand and one in the other. And one stick he writes for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions, in other words, those others from the Israelites who are connected with Judah, together with the Judah, are to be written on one stick. He takes the other stick, in his other hand, and he writes upon it the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions. Ephraim often represents in scripture all of the 10 tribes together. At all events, Ephraim is often considered the leading tribe amongst the Lost End tribes, and the prophet is commanded to write upon this stick, Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions. Here it says, note, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions. All the house of Israel, his companions. House of Israel, in biblical terminology, usually refers to the 10 tribes of Israel. Sometimes it refers to all the 12 tribes. We have to take it in its context, where we have a juxtaposition of Judah versus Joseph, or Judah and Israel. In other words, we have the mention of Judah and then Israel, or house of Judah and house of Israel. In every instance, it means the Jews as against the 10 tribes. So here too, all the house of Israel means all of the 10 tribes. Ephraim with all of the house of Israel, his companions, the companions of Ephraim, are to be written on the second stick. And he says they shall be joined together into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. Incidentally, as we've also, as we pointed out before, and it's not necessarily pertinent to what the Malbim says, but others have said, Kolator has mentioned it, a famous book also occupied with the Lost Ten Tribes of Israel, mentions these actions that the prophet is commanded to do. First of all, he is commanded by his own actions, by his human actions, to take the two sticks, one in each hand, and to join them together. Then it says, they shall become one in thine hand, as if miraculously. And there's the principle out that we have to begin, that human agency has to begin. We have to take the first steps, we have to go forward, do what we can, and then the Almighty will finish it off. The Almighty will complete it for us miraculously, or divine assistance will become more concrete, more, we will feel it more. More evident to us. God's help will become more evident to us and more obvious, and we will see that the Almighty is blessing our endeavors, but first we have to begin. We have to make the initial endeavorment, and the Almighty will help us finish it off. Ezekiel continues, and when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, Wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by this? Say unto them, Thus says the Lord. And then the people, or those who stand around, are seeing what Ezekiel is doing. He's taking these sticks, he's putting them together, etc. And they ask him, what's the meaning of this? What was he doing? And he explains to them, in continuation, Behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his fellows, and put them with their him. Even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in one hand, and the sticks whereon their writers shall be in one hand before their eyes. He says that he is to take the two sticks, one written concerning Ephraim and all of Israel, his companions, all the house of Israel, his companions, and the other stick is written on it, Judah and the house of Israel, and the Israelites, his companions, children of Israel, his companions, and put them together, and they will be one stick in a miraculous way. And this is what is to be done. And Ezekiel continues, and say unto them, that is, Ezekiel is commanded to say unto the bystanders, people standing around, who asked him what does he mean by this, what is the significance of what they have just seen. Ezekiel is to say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. Behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land, and I will make them one nation in the land. Upon the mountains of Israel, one king shall be king to them all. And there shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned. And I will cleanse them, and so shall they be my people, and I will be their God. And David my servant shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. They also shall walk in my judgments, and observe my statutes, and do them, and they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, even they and their children and their children's children, forever, and my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with him. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them for evermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people, and the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them for evermore. And this can may be found. The section of Ezekiel, chapter 37, verses 15 to 28. The Malbim, explaining these verses, says that the prophet is commanded to take one stick and to write upon it these words, for Judah and for the house of Israel, his companions. This stick represented Judah and those joined unto him, from the children of Israel, such as the tribe of Benjamin and the sons of Levi, and the rest of the people who attached themselves to Judah. As by way of explanation, in parentheses, we should point out that the Lost Ten Tribes were separated from the southern kingdom of Judah. The southern kingdom of Judah consisted of the tribes of Judah and Benjamin, and later of Levi, and of refugees from the north, that all together were referred to as Judah, the kingdom of Judah, and they became the core element. The ancestors of most of the Jewish people today came from this kingdom of Judah. So that is what it means by Judah and for the house of Israel, his companions, meaning for Judah, the tribe of Judah, which was a primary tribe, and for those other tribes and the members of the other tribes who had attached themselves to Judah. And he goes on. And he took another stick, and he wrote upon it these words, for Joseph and the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel and his companions. And the Malbim says, this stick, the second stick, represents Joseph, who was the source of the tribe of Ephraim. From Joseph developed the kingdom of Ephraim, which began with Jeroboam, Yeravam in Hebrew, and therefore the stick of Joseph is also termed the stick of Ephraim. He explains the stick of Joseph, meaning the lost tribes of Israel, has also been referred to as the stick of Ephraim, because the initial leadership of the ten tribes when they broke away was from Jeroboam, who was from the tribe of Ephraim. Ezekiel continues, and the Malbim explains it, comments on this continuation. Ezekiel says, in all the house of Israel, and the Malbim says, unto him, unto Joseph, were joined all of Israel, which belonged to the ten tribes. Our sacred sages had a tradition. This is a good point. Our sacred sages, this is what the Malbim says. Our sacred sages had a tradition that in the beginning of the end times would arise a Messiah from the house of Joseph, who will reign over the ten tribes. He will wage wars, and all of Israel will be gathered together unto his banner. This will continue until a descendant of David later appears, and he will reign over them, over all the tribes. A transformation will take place. The ten tribes and the stick of Joseph will draw themselves closer unto the stick of Judah, and this too will be through the agency of a prophet and by miracles. The Malbim says that this passage of Ezekiel, according to the tradition that the sages had, indicates the future coming of a Messiah descended from Joseph, who will gather together ten tribes. And he will not only will he gather the ten tribes together, but he will also initiate a reunion, a union with the Jews, with Judah. And this is what the bringing together of the two sticks is referring to. The Malbim goes on, and he links up this prophecy in Ezekiel 37 with the book of Micah, chapter 5. The book of Micah, especially chapter 5, was based on an historical event when the lost tribes of Israel were exiled. They were taken by the Assyrians to different portions of the Assyrian Empire. They were conscripted into the Assyrian armed forces. Some of them were worked as slaves in stone quarries and as menial servants, but others had important positions They became craftsmen, as proven by archaeological findings. They also became important officials in the Assyrian service. And they had been settled in different groups around the boundaries of the Assyrian Empire, where they linked up with other peoples. And together with them, or as part of this confederation, they became known as the Cimmerians, the Scythians, and the Goths. The Assyrian Empire suffered from internal dislocations. There were rebellions and attacks from without. And a portion of the Israelites became independent. They asserted their independence. They became more and more associated with the Scythians, or as the Scythians. And they eventually, through a combination of circumstances, managed to take control of the Assyrian Empire, which they ruled over for a period of 28 years, as indicated by Herodotus. After that, there was once again changes. Once more, they also attempted to reunite with Judah. We have the story of King Josiah of Judah, who attempted to bring back the lost 10 tribes, and a portion of them did return to the land of Israel and settle there temporarily, but they left once again shortly after the death of King Josiah. King Josiah purified the temple. He reinstituted the worship of the one true God as it had been formerly practiced. He was eventually killed by the Egyptians. He was killed in attempting to prevent the Egyptians from moving north. The Egyptians were actually moving north to fight against the Scythians. We find archaeological evidence of Scythians being in the land of Israel, or having settled in the land of Israel during the reign of Josiah. Josiah was working hand in hand with the Scythians. Eventually, the Scythians parted paths with the Assyrians. They joined up with the enemies of Assyria, with the Medes and the Babylonians. They participated in the destruction of the Assyrian Empire. After which, the Medes and Babylonians invited their leadership to a feast and massacred them, and divided the former Assyrian Empire between them, whilst they systematically began to push the Scythians and the Israelites further to the north. And they moved to the north, they moved into southern Russia, what is now southern Russia, and adjacent areas, and from there eventually they were pushed westward into Western Europe, where their descendants are now to be found. In addition to those who crossed the seas to North America, to Canada and the USA, and to Australia, New Zealand, and to South Africa. And this is historically what happened, and this was pretended. It was portended. It was pre-adumbrated, if you want a big word, foreshadowed, in the book of Micah, who describes these actions, he describes the Israelites being taken away, being exiled by the Assyrians, and becoming, first of all, servants of Assyria, then the allies of Assyria, then the protectors of Assyria, and finally destroying Assyria. And this whole chapter of Micah refers to this event connected with Assyria, but it doesn't only refer to it. We have a principle in Scripture that anything that was needed for future generations was written down. What was not needed was not written down. And this whole chapter of Micah also is a prophecy of the end times. And that is how the Malbim is referring to it. It is how the Malbim addresses it. And so, just to briefly go through the relevant passages of Micah, and then we'll get to what the Malbim says about them, and see how the Malbim links up this chapter of Micah with Ezekiel 37, and also how he relates it to an additional description concerning the Messiah, son of Joseph, and the eventual reunion of the 10 tribes with Judah. Micah 5:1 says, "Now gather thyselves in troops, in soldiers, O daughter of troops. If they laid siege against thee, they shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek." So it's saying that the Israelites will be attacked. "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little amongst the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." It's talking about a future ruler over Judah. Shall come forth out of Bethlehem. And Micah 5:3, "Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth, and the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel." Now he's talking about the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. He's talking about reunion between the Israelite tribes. Micah 5:4 says, "And he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall abide, for now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. And this man shall be the peace. When the Assyrian shall come into our land, and when he hath tread in our palaces, then shall we raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men." In other words, Micah is describing how, first of all, the Assyrians will have downtrodden our palaces, downtrodden our land, but then we shall make peace with them, and eventually raise up against him 7 shepherds and allies, and then 8 principal men to rule over him. And he continues, "And they, the Israelites, shall waste the land of Israel with a sword, and the land of Nimrod, and the entrances thereof." Land of Nimrod is another name for Assyria. And he says that the Israelites will attack and destroy Assyria. "Thou shall he deliver us from the Assyrian when he cometh into our land, when he treadeth within our borders." So that is what the Scythians did. The Scythians contained a good number, a significant proportion of the Scythian forces were actually Israelites. And they shall destroy the land of Assyria. That is what Micah is predicting. The Israelites will destroy Assyria just as the Assyrians had formerly destroyed the land of Israel. But we must remember that Micah is not only speaking about this event, this historical event, which happened shortly after the time of Micah, is also speaking about something that will happen in the future. Micah 5:7, "And the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people, as a dew from the Lord, as the showers upon the grass, that tarrieth not for man, nor waiteth for the sons of men." Micah 5:8, "And the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles, in the midst of many peoples, as a lion among the beasts of the forest, as a young lion among the flocks of sheep, who, if he go through, both treadeth down and teareth in pieces, and none can deliver." In other words, Micah describing the future exiles, those who were exiled by Assyria, as being like a lion that goes through the domestic animals and just tears to pieces whatever he wishes to do, and no one can say anything to him. And Micah is predicting that lost tribes of Israel in the future towards the end times would be a very powerful entity, a powerful entity amongst the nations of the earth. And that is where, incidentally, through other indications that we mention in our biblical proofs, the lost in tribes have to be looked for. They have to be looked for, the most powerful nations in the world today. They also have to be looked for amongst the most powerful nations in a material sense, and the most powerful nations on the seas of the earth, and in an economic sense, and in many other ways, all of which can only apply to the Western nations, especially the USA and Britain and its related peoples. And Micah 5:9 concludes, "Thine hand shall be lifted up upon thine adversaries, and all thine enemies shall be cut off." So the Malbim on chapter 5 of Micah says, it has already been clarified in Ezekiel 37 that in the end time, the 10 tribes will be the first to arouse themselves, and over them will reign the Messiah, the anointed Saviour, descendant of Joseph, and they shall accomplish great things. The tribes of Judah who are scattered amongst the nations and are weakly and few will attach themselves unto the 10 tribes. They, that is the Jews, will be of secondary importance at first in the kingdom of the anointed, descendant of Joseph, in the kingdom of the Mashiach ben Joseph. This will continue until later there will arise the anointed descendant of David, the Mashiach ben David, Sheb ben David in the might of the Lord. In that time they will, that is both Judah and Joseph, accept upon themselves the kingship of the house of David. Then wars will cease with the Gentiles, will request guidance from him, from the Messiah. Micah wants to describe the situation that will exist as the, long as the general ingathering will not be completed, and all of the exile of Judah will still not be gathered together in the land of Israel. Then, all that time, the house of Israel, the 10 tribes, the anointed descendant of Joseph, who belonged to them, the Mashiach ben Yosef, this is what the Malbim explains, all that time, the 10 tribes and the Mashiach ben Yosef will be the principal party. They will be the warriors and the rulers. The house of Judah will be secondary unto them. As it says in Ezekiel 37:19, Behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, and I will take the stick of Joseph, and I will put upon him the stick of Judah. In other words, he takes the stick of Joseph, and he puts upon the stick of Joseph the stick of Judah. And the Malbim understands this to mean that at that time, initially, the stick of Joseph will be more important, and the stick of Judah less important. Therefore, the stick of Judah is the one that is taken and is put upon the stick of Joseph. Actually, the King James translation translated the passage to say the reverse. In the King James version, it says, Behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, the tribes of Israel, his fellows, and I put with them, even with the stick of Judah, and I make them one stick, and they shall be one in one hand. So this is a mistranslation or an alternate translation. The Malbim understands the Hebrew to say that Judah is the one that is being taken and put on the stick of Joseph. King James says it in the exact opposite application. The King James translates the words as having the exact opposite meaning. Hebrew can be... possibly could be translated either way. So this is an interesting distinction that the Malbim represents the Jewish people, and he is saying that in the end times the Jews will be less important than Joseph, whereas the King James may be considered as representing the forces of Joseph, the tribes of Joseph. That is the most popular translation of the Bible amongst them, and traditionally he most revered the one with the longest history, the longest association. The King James is giving more importance to Judah and less to Joseph. So in other words, they are both subconsciously belittling themselves, because both sides realize that eventually they have to reunite. We can't be too proud. We can't hold up on niceties. If it means that we have to give up a little bit of our self-importance and get down to business, get down to what we really want to do, joining together and uniting our forces. So that is what has to be done. So that is what the Malbim says. And it is of interest. It is of interest to us, because the figure of the Messiah, Ben Joseph, represents all of the tribes of Israel, all of the lost tribes of Israel, all of the 10 tribes. He in the future will lead them, and he also represents a historical process that will take place in the end times, when Joseph begins to draw closer unto Judah. So we will speak of this more in another opportunity. I hope this has been of use to you. I've enjoyed speaking of it. I too learn from these talks. May God bless you all. This is Yair Davidi from New Bambi, Brit and Broadcasting Israel. Thank you.